Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And there are words here. Nobody knows what these words mean. Nobody uses these words.
Is there a practical application for that skill later in life, I wonder?
The winning word was
you could program spell
koinonia.
Oh, sure.
I don't know what is that. Yeah. K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. And he nailed it. The kid knew the word.
Yeah, he's like,
he
I got this.
He knew the word.
Oh, yeah, I know this
like
one.
Walking off the court as the ball's in the air.
Yes, Larry Bird, done.
Steph Curry, chucked it up, turned to the bench. Ball is in the air.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. We're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Street, Northwest. We have the Caps tonight. All right? Big night at the bar.
It's a good place to see a Caps
tonight.
Game, I understand.
Yeah, and we got the Belmont on Saturday, which is a Triple Crown circumstance.
That's
and
in play,
that's
yes.
a pretty good deal. We got Gary Braun. We got Chris Saliza. Steve Sands in town to go to the Caps game tonight.
Live and in person.
Michael Kornheiser having gone to the Caps game, courtesy of Marcus in the back, our new intern, who asked, what should I do? And I said, sit down. Don't worry. We don't ask you to do anything. Nigel will do the news. And
so the intern provided tickets to Michael for that game?
Yes.
He's off to a great start.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's great.
Setting the bar pretty high for the rest of the Cliffies that follow him.
Do not make eye contact with Mr. Kornheiser. If you make eye contact with Mr. Kornheiser,
I think he gets the show
leave
already.
The room.
Yeah. We have guests in here. We have Josh and Alicia, who are getting married next October. They are from Wisconsin. We have a dairy farmer from Colorado.
Yes.
Right. Hundreds of cows.
Yes.
Really? Not in here right now.
Moo cows.
And I promised I would read this letter from Jay and Krishna. A few weeks ago, you mentioned that a big gap in your wedding resume was an Indian wedding. I'm here to fill that gap. Mm. I'd like to invite you and the whole gang to our wedding Saturday, June 9th. That is this coming Saturday in Jersey City. It's a short trip up. Just take your usual Acela. Don't pull up a little bit short of either Newark or the Newark Penn Station and go there. We, my future wife, loved your book. I'm working on the podcast. We'd love to have you. We'll have Johnny Walker Blue ready. That's from Jay and Christian. So very nice.
Oh, yes,
he was here the other day and had a, remember, Michael, he had a sign.
Yeah, sign the invite. I think,
sign
right?
an invite. So.
Are we going to that? Or
no.
No.
Oh. Well, I'm not going to that.
Well, speak for yourself.
But you could go. Everybody could go. But I wish them all the luck in the world. Let's get started. There's two overwhelming sports stories. And as Steve Sands likes to point out in his wildly entertaining and perhaps scandalous texting.
Rabbit.
No rabbit. Scandalous. Genie's on the text chain. No scandalous. No scandalous.
Perhaps scandalous. He points out that the NHL gets it
Genie.
Right because it's the NHL final.
Correct.
And it's the NBA finals.
Correct.
And this is, you want to explain?
Well, it at NBC, one of the things we
And you
learn,
have the NHL.
One of the things we learn at the very beginning of the job, it's the opening ceremony at the Olympics. It's the closing ceremony at the Olympics. It's not ceremonies. It's one ceremony. The final is the final. It's not the NBA finals. It's the NBA final. Happens to be game two last night.
So
it's the final.
So at Binghamton University.
Hockey gets it right.
Oh, wait. Let's go back on this a second. Because at Binghamton University, where I have a doctorate,
over the
course of 3 days, there are multiple graduations.
Yep.
Multiple. Which would mean, as a group, there are graduation ceremonies.
Right. Okay.
Ceremonies. I spoke at a graduation, at a singular, because you can't speak at more than one.
Correct.
At a ceremony. But do you know what I'm getting at?
Tonight, I'm going to the graduation ceremony. I'm not going to the graduation ceremonies.
Right.
Last night was game two of the NBA final.
Right,
it's
not the finals.
Final.
So we'll do that. We'll start with that because that is the newer news, and then we'll get to the hockey.
So is the finals tonight?
The final game, actually, the Caps game, game four of the NHL final, of the Stanley Cup final, is tonight here in Washington, D.C.
Oh, no.
The Warriors made this look very easy. They won by about 20. Steph Curry had 33 points, including this one ridiculous three where he was running away from the basket.
Yeah.
Running away. He had 16 points in the fourth quarter. As a team, the Warriors shot 15 of 36 from three. I'm sorry. No one's beating you if you do that. No one's beating you if you shoot 15 of 36 from three. Curry, 33 points. Durant, 26 points. Klay Thompson hobbling, 20 points. Plus JaVale McGee, who I can't believe is still in the league, made five or six baskets.
Six of six from the field.
Didn't ruin the team. You notice he was never out there with Swaggy P at the same time.
He was so good with the bullets.
Who was?
JaVale.
He had talent.
And Swaggy P. They were great. Swaggy P.
Was Sean Livingston, also a former Wizard.
Sean can play.
Make the point here. I thought this. Three of JaVale them. McGee and Swaggy P are getting rings.
They are. JaVale McGee has
one, and Swaggy is getting
one. He's going to get a
That's
ring.
That's got to make Leonsis sick.
Those two are going to
win rings.
That he gave them away. So much talent.
You couldn't give them away fast enough.
They're awful.
So LeBron had a great game statistically. 29 points. 9 rebounds, 13 assists, and Love, Kevin Love, did great. Shut 22 up. And 10. J.R. Smith, 5 points. Kyle Korver, 1 point. I know that the Golden State Warriors have an affinity for taking a nap. They don't care. They know they're better than you are, and they know that if they have to win the game, they will win the game. Everything in their history indicates that. And you would say, well, not against Cleveland in Game 7. Yes, Kyrie Irving on that team had about 40 points, no longer on that team. I don't think anyone on Golden State fears that they will lose this series. But I think they should win. They should win in four. What do you think?
They should. I think what you saw last night was pretty typical of what you would have expected for all these games going in. I mean, we talked about the fact that Cleveland was a 13 or I'm
12
sorry,
in game one, yeah, and they did not cover
right.
in game one.
And that game was much closer, but we also talked about the fact that that was sort of the one you would expect them to steal.
Yep.
So last,
well, if J.R. Smith had any sense of time and
he knew what the score was.
By the way, were you up for the game last night, Tony?
I watched three quarters.
Oh, my God.
In the first quarter when J.R. Smith went to the line and the crowd started yelling MVP,
that was a phenomenal crowd moment.
When they introduced him.
We are taught this on the PTI show by the brilliant Derek Rideholm. Do not insult a person's character. Insult their actions.
Yeah.
So his actions on the court in game one at the end were the actions of a fool.
I'll tell you one thing. J.R. Smith plays in the celebrity event in Tahoe that we do every year in July.
Is he a good
golfer?
He
is a wonderful guy.
Yeah,
and he
that's what everybody says.
Is a very good golfer and loves the sport, and he's a tremendous guy to be around. That was a tough spot the other night.
He also got a huge ovation when introduced.
Yes, that was also fantastic.
That's like, you know, when you're in Carolina, when you're at Duke and the Carolina people are in there. Yes. It can't be good. Do you have more?
I still think Cleveland's going to win a game.
You do?
Which game?
I think it'll be game three.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're just so much better. I mean, that's what I was struck by from the beginning.
They're the best team.
From the beginning of the game to the end of the game. And I watched, I mean, when they took LeBron out and they started playing guys that, you know, like that guy number 41. I was like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
On Cleveland. Well, I stopped watching, but I watched until then. They're just significantly better. Anytime they made a run, and LeBron is amazing. And anytime that they get it to five, and then Durant would get a rebound. He's 7 feet tall, dribble down, stop on a dime, and make a three. I just don't know what do you do about that?
Fourth time they have played.
I mean,
Golden State is better, and Cleveland without Irving is worse.
The only thing that is up for grabs right now is whether or not LeBron becomes an MVP in the NBA Finals. As a losing team member.
I think LeBron could get votes.
But he could get MVP votes and have his team get swept. He's been that good. He's been amazing.
It's not terribly, unless you're a Warriors fan, which I know there are a lot of them, including a lot of young people like my kids.
It doesn't mean much.
It's not fun to watch.
No, because they're not as good. Cleveland's not
and
as good as they were.
Just one team toying with the other team.
You don't think they're fun to watch, Chris? I think they're a joy to watch.
Yeah, I think they're fun to watch. I don't think the series, and I'm a big basketball fan, particularly NBA.
In the sense
I don't think
that you're 6'3".
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Big cat. People always say that they think I'm short. So it must be my inside.
Sneaky tall. So
only compared to really tall.
By the way, this is a thrill of a lifetime to be able to meet Chris Cillizzi.
You never met him before?
I've seen him on television. I read his fine work, and I slaughter him with texts asking, when are we going to impeach?
Are we
going to
do a sand segment later on his views on Trump? They're very, very strong. I don't find it terribly.
Texting someone you've never met is tremendous in this day and age.
I guess the Warriors are fun to watch in that excellence is fun. at the same time, it just feels to me like Cleveland, even with LeBron, has no chance.
I don't think they have a chance. So let's move to the Cavs. Well,
but I will say, the first game was an exciting game, and last night was a game for three quarters.
But it's wholly dependent to me. Sorry, I mean, here we go. It's wholly dependent on the Warriors trying. If the Warriors do anything close to what they did from the start last night, they will win every game by 15 points.
Of course. When they move the ball, when they move the ball, pass the ball, when they don't get stuck, when they move the ball, extra pass, shoot, fly around.
There was one play last night in the second quarter. Curry or Durant at the top of the key hit Draymond Green, and rather than go up, Draymond threw it over the rim so that
Jordan Bell.
That's gorgeous.
No other team makes that.
And for all of Draymond's yelling and screaming, he's just a very good basketball player. I mean, and they had him mic'd up, and I think now obviously they don't play a lot of him swearing at everyone, but you know, he is the guy. This is what we talk. He is the kind of guy that's like, move over there, Kevin.
That's
I mean, that's amazing to me like he somewhat bosses Kevin Durant, who is clearly a better basketball player around on the court. I don't think it does either.
Kevin Durant is not a player who takes over games unless told.
He's a softer personality.
Right.
Draymond Green, less talented, stronger personality.
Yeah, right. I think that makes sense. Let me get to the Caps. Caps are game four tonight. We'll spend more time with Sands later in the show about the Caps because he is going tonight. Michael, you went to describe the experience. Marcus, our intern, who is now our intern for life because he got a new ticket. Where were your seats?
We were sitting in section 102, so we are
Lower bowl.
Yeah, lower bowl. Great, great angle. This was the most electrifying sports event I've ever been to. This topped Duke Carolina, you know, at Cameron Indoor.
Really?
I have been to a Super Bowl. I have been to majors. The atmosphere in the arena, and even more so outside the arena. There are 15,000 to 20,000 people outside the arena.
Braving the rain, because it was supposed to rain
all
night.
It was supposed to rain, and the rain held out, which is actually really good for the ice conditions, because just the science that goes into maintaining the right humidity levels is something that is out of this world. We make a lot of fun of Caps fans. I was around a welcoming group,
knowledgeable. Rocked the red. You bought a red shirt.
I had to get a shirt because I don't have new Caps gear because I was out of town for a lot of the Rock the Red. And, you know, I've not been to a playoff hockey game in a long time, probably since 1998, actually. But I brought back my youth size Caps hat, rocking my Peter Bondra look.
Nice, Bonsai.
So it was a joy to be at that game. Just so Vegas fans don't think I'm letting the team skate, you can't start a game at 8:27. So they had a beautiful pregame.
I thought Pat St.
Video.
Jack was great.
That was a terrible move. He's
I
been a fan
him.
For 13
that
years.
Was,
you can't find
him.
Somebody
that was
a fan
so
in 98.
Lame. That was embarrassing.
I mean, to defend the Caps on that. Inside sources are saying the league dictated that, not the Caps.
Pat Sajak?
Yes, they wanted someone with local ties
Vanna?
To the team.
You know the deal with Pat
it.
Sajak?
He lives in Annapolis.
If you could find someone with the exact opposite politics of the golf expert Steve Sands, it's Pat Sajak.
Right, that's okay.
But they had Joe Gibbs in the arena. You can't have Joe Gibbs to go to the starting lineup.
Right.
You have to reverse those roles. Let Sajak say, let's go Caps, and then go bring the greatest sports figure this town has ever had go do the starting lineup.
Right, or bring in Riggo.
That's the way to do it.
I'm not sure that Joe
Gibbs
by the
way, you guys are
gonna
be,
to do that.
You guys are
going to
be happy with tonight's pick.
Oh, you already know? Because it's NBC, so you know.
Maybe.
Maybe it's you?
No.
Kim
no.
Kardashian?
Is it Imagine Dragons?
If it was Tiger. Me, I wouldn't be here. I'd be prepping at home. No.
It's
no
Chessy,
one,
right?
No one will do the starting lineup thing, the Sajak role. But the Let's Go Caps role tonight, you guys will
and
all enjoy.
And Sajak has to be called out on introducing Nicholas Baxter.
Oh, Max Scherzer is so great.
I don't know. Did this air on TV? Did they do that 4 or 5 minute video pregame where they have all the players?
Didn't get
no.
Okay,
because
if you can find that, watch it. They show these guys getting drafted. They show them playing youth hockey. It's a Friday Night Lights moment montage. Find that. It gives you goosebumps, and it sets up the entire game. And it does show you that these guys skating are not the same guys that were getting, you know, knocked out in the second round by the Rangers and the Penguins for all those years.
So you had a great time.
Great time. And frankly, we were lucky because we got a first period that was back and forth, but you did not feel like they lost any ground. You got a goal by the right person to start the second period with Ovechkin. You had Kuznetsov carry that. And the guy that has taken a lot of flack in this series, other than Gary's boy, Lars Eller, is Smith Pelly, who had the most beautiful goal on our side of the ice to
I will
really
tell
ice
you
it for you, Chris.
That the goal, I guess, was in game two that was disallowed. That was interference.
Yeah.
I mean, he knocked right into Fleury. Yeah. I mean, he just knocked into Fleury.
That was a proper
call. So you enjoyed it completely?
I did.
And you bought a shirt?
I have a shirt. I brought back my old 1998 hat. What worries me is I'm now on the other side of 30, and when you go to an arena, particularly a final game like this, there are so many people, and unlike basketball or baseball where there's an ebb and flow to when you go down to your seats, when you go up, in hockey, everyone leaves at the same time, and it is crushing. So there's these weird fluttering feelings of just crowd anxiety as you're trying to just make your way out of that lower bowl and then get back down. But no, great game. And even after the game, people stay. What's happening on the steps of the art
people
gallery
should come to Chatter.
Across? Yeah. People are coming to Chatter.
Yeah.
We got a great email about a family that wanted to go to a bar restaurant. You can't get into any of these local bars for hours.
You get into here.
So they took the red line.
And when the Caps, you can get in when the Caps aren't playing, which is what we're trying.
That's right.
It sounds
like. Sans, where are your tickets tonight?
Oh.
Are they good?
There we go.
Not sure yet.
Seated toilet
seats. Oh, but I mean, you got NBC, you have to have NBC seats.
The bench?
Not sure yet.
So you could be next to Pierre. You could be on the ice.
Yes. We're not sure yet.
Yeah,
he's lying.
He's
totally 100% lying.
You have Saliza seats.
They are right in front.
Are we going to see you on television in your seats?
No. No, I don't ever want to be on television if I'm not on television.
That's the opposite of me.
No, I want to go enjoy it. Yes, exactly. I mean, like St. Jack politics, the exact opposite of Saliza.
Right.
No, I just want to go, have a few beers, enjoy it with the family, have a good time. The seats may or may not be pretty
good.
They're going to be pretty good.
It sounds like the environment Michael is describing with the Caps is similar to what I've witnessed at a Georgetown-Creighton game.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You know, just everyone really into it.
At
all
McDonough?
dozen people
and
there.
And also, and much the same way everyone leaves at the same time during the second half.
What's interesting about leaving at the same time is they just don't come. Does that count
right,
as the same?
Not
we got to sit next to a Torrey Clark section, so I met the kids. I met the Phantom daughter.
You met Devin?
I did.
So Brian was there.
And I could see Tori from one section over, hands in her face the entire game. I'm sure just worried about the kids as they're knocking over beers and cursing at families.
Do they really curse? Like, I listen to your guys' show every day.
I don't know. That's what Tori says.
Is that true? They're out there just dropping F-bombs in front of people?
It could be.
Come on. You can't do that.
I'll take a break.
Come on, man.
We'll have Michael Wilbon when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a SeatGeek ad, and it's apropos of talking about sports at the beginning of all Monday shows. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there is a better way to buy, and that is with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I'm assuming you can get tickets to tonight's game, and I'm assuming they're pricey. It would not surprise me if they were $800 and up.
They're more than that.
SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports like tonight's game and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast will get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. You just download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek. You enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Matt Matari of Jersey City, New Jersey writes, first time, long time. I've been a loyal little since my days driving around the Beltway for work after college. You know, way back when go-go boots were fashionable on the SportsCenter set. One of my good buddies from Notre Dame is Mitch Bradford, a musician with a style described as old American rhythms made new. He's about to record his third album titled Shadowboxing. Thought you'd enjoy this track from a previous album, Grand Army. Title got you on my mind. I've copied Mitch on the email, who can confirm permission to play the song that, in regards to unbiased critical commentary, makes Bob Dylan sound like he has a piano. Mitch's music is on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud. This is very good.
It's a good song, I believe.
This is a very good song. We're glad that was sent us. Michael Wilbon joins us now, about to leave from California for Cleveland, covering the finals in the NBA. Not much last night. Not much of a game last night. Got close a little bit, but fourth quarter blowout. I mean, this to me, that game to me is the quantitative difference between these two teams. What do you think?
Yeah, Tony, if Golden State plays, if they're engaged, if the Warriors are engaged for more than, the first 6 or 7 minutes after halftime, which sometimes is the case.
Well, they weren't, they got outscored in the third last night. They actually did.
Did they?
Yeah, they lost 2 points.
It wound up, sort of not mattering. And right. That is not the theme for them. But, listen, when Durant, Curry, and Klay Thompson had a bum ankle.
Yes.
He shoots 8-for-13 in 34 minutes. Okay? And when those three guys shoot it like that, Durant was 10-for-16.
Can't beat them.
Even though Curry was 11-for-26, the three-pointers for Steph Curry in that building, it works the same way that Jordan dunks did in Chicago, that Magic no-look passes to Worthy on the break did in Los Angeles, that, the movement of the ball with Bird and McHale and Parrish and DJ and Ainge, the way that worked in Boston. The building, the roof blows off of it. And, of course, opponents say they're not demoralized, but evidence is that they're demoralized.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this. Look, I understand that LeBron James, I have no idea what he said, but it is conceivable to me that he said, I've been in this before. He was in this a couple of weeks ago.
Last week, yeah.
I don't think 0-1, 0-2 phases him that much. But in this particular case, the other team is significantly better. And when Jeff Van Gundy said before the series started, this should be 4-0, I'm not saying it will be 4-0, but it should be 4-0.
I don't even know that it should be 4-0. You have to take into account, again, the personality of teams.
Right.
The Warriors screw around.
They do.
This is as much a part of them as shooting threes. So to say they should win 4-0 discounts what their personality is, and I wouldn't do that.
Let me get to what, if it ends 4-0 or 4-1, if it ends 4-0 or 4-1, people will look back on one of the dumbest plays of all time at the end of game one. The J.R. Smith play, you're there for that. When you watch that, you have to think, my God, he doesn't know the score.
I just thought he counted the free throws before they were made, like I did.
Right?
When George Hill went to the line.
With two.
I counted both free throws. They're down one.
Yes.
And in my head, I counted both free throws as made. He's an 88% foul shooter in this postseason. So I did the same thing J.R. Smith did. The problem is I'm not paid to make that decision in front of the world to take the ball back out toward half court with LeBron saying, what are you doing?
Yes. Yes.
And, but I know what happened. I know what happened, and I feel for him. Look, Tony, it's happened to better players than him, okay? Magic Johnson, arguably the smartest player ever, did the same thing.
Best player ever.
34 years ago to the day, May 31, 1984, in game two of the finals in Boston Garden, Magic dribbled the ball out with a tie score, 113-113, with 13 seconds left. He dribbled it out in regulation. The Celtics won the game to go up 2-0 and the series in seven. At a time when the Lakers had never beaten the Celtics in the finals, Magic Johnson. So Derek Harper, another player, a hell of a lot better over a longer period of time, a guy who got the conference finals, Derek Harper. And I thought of them immediately. And J.R. Smith's the easy target. J.R. Smith, jumps up on the table with his shirt off when they win.
He's an easy target because he made himself an easy target because he has been a knucklehead.
Yeah, well, he's been a nut. Yes.
Yes.
He has been. And, the Bulls once cut him when they traded. They made a trade, and this was in the Scott Skiles' coach days. They traded for him and would not even allow him to practice before they cut him. Okay? But I'm just saying to you, people, this is like when I'm getting so old now, that when people said 1986 reminded me of Shirley Povich, when people said Roger Clemens got tossed out of a World Series game for arguing balls and strikes, and people said this has never happened in the history of baseball, and Shirley wrote a very calm, awesome column the next day saying, shut up, people. This happened to Walter Johnson in 1927. Tony, leading to the famous phrase, train told me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, well, and I'm fine with that, except that J.R. Smith's not Magic Johnson. He doesn't have time to redeem himself. And then he lied about it. He lied about it afterwards.
He's embarrassed.
Had he owned it, Mike, had he owned it, I think it would be different. But he lied about it after his coach said he didn't know.
It wouldn't have been different. It wouldn't have been different. Because in this day and age, Tony, with social media being what it is and the scrutiny on these games being what it is, I don't think it would have been different. I mean, you know, subtly, in subtle ways. But when he sat there and said, because on the court, you can see him say to LeBron, I thought it was tied. Or I thought we were ahead.
I thought we had the lead.
But LeBron, all you had to see, and this is what I wonder about, and I don't think that in the moment LeBron is thinking to himself, now we'll never win the series. But the look on LeBron's face, when he puts both hands up to his head, looking at this guy, then you say to yourself, my God, LeBron is seeing this chance go away. Didn't you think that when you saw it?
Of course.
He wants to kill J.R. Smith, who is his boy, because he kept him for 4 years.
He saw it go away twice. He saw it go away when a dumb NBA rule allowed a judgment call to be changed on a charge block.
Yeah, but there were 45 seconds left in that game.
But they have the lead
and
the ball.
That's right.
They have the lead and the ball and LeBron James with the ball. So you compound that, not to mention they've been hosed on two earlier calls in the sequence leading up to that one where LeBron got fouled by Steph Curry. Nothing was called on a shooting. It should have been a shooting foul. It should have been two shots. And they called a foul on LeBron
when he stripped Durant.
When he just stripped him.
No, and all of that is true. But if you've got 40 seconds left and you're facing a team that can shoot threes literally from 32 feet, right? I mean, from 32 feet.
Yeah,
which is why even him making the free throw wouldn't guarantee anything.
Right.
They had just been in this situation last week. Two games in a row, the Warriors had been, and they did not come through.
So do you think,
on their home court,
though we are both agreed that Golden State as a team doesn't seem, I hate the word, but doesn't seem to feel any sense of urgency ever, ever. And every time they lose, Draymond Green says the same thing. This is good for us. What are you talking about? But do you now see, having won, having escaped in one, having gotten lucky in one, and having shown what they can do in two, do you still think they revert to that team, the lackadaisical team, or do you think they say, let's just end this thing, let's move on?
Well, it's their history to throw one away. It's their history to not be engaged. They're the they're the A pupil that says, you know, we can get a C this semester. They're they're that kid. And we all recognize it. And I think that's because they don't have – look, Draymond Green is the closest player they have to somebody who will look at his teammates and say, I will kill you. I will kill you people if we don't get ourselves together this quarter. Draymond's the closest guy to that. And he has to be that. That's why Steve Kerr – that's why Draymond's personality is allowed to be whatever it needs to be. Because the rest of them are just so, you know, flatline emotionally.
Yeah.
Except after Curry hit maybe three or four threes in a row. But I you know, Tony, Stephen A. makes a great argument last night on the air. He said that he believes that the Warriors want to sweep LeBron so badly that they will not revert. And I thought that's and we're both around the team every day, and the Warriors are not the New England Patriots, okay? They're not available for comment. They're not available for examination or engagement. They are engaged, all the star players, every day, and the coach and the assistant coaches, and you can get a real fair and deep sense of what they are and what they care about. And Stephen A., again, it was his thought. I got to credit him because I didn't make this observation. He just thinks that they want to take LeBron out.
Yeah,
and that they will be what they usually are. So that's something to look for in Game 3. You know, it was an interesting thing to look for last night because Game 2 is often the game that they sleep through, and they didn't do that last night.
I'm not even going to ask about Tristan Thompson and what his mental state is. I don't even care that much anymore. But when he pushed the ball in Draymond's face, yeah. I mean, it would have been okay with me if Draymond killed him, just knocked him out. You know what I mean? He seems annoying.
Yeah.
He seems
I think he was angry. They were all angry at that point because frustrated. They saw the game slip away.
Yeah.
Frustrated. And I think he also thought, you know what? If I'm going to get thrown out of here, maybe, let me take Draymond with me.
Well, he's a more important player. All right, let me just get to this one thing.
They did it.
I'm sure there's Caps fever out in the Bay Area. I'm sure.
No one knows that.
Have you watched? You must have watched.
No, I can't watch, Tony, because one, hotels don't often have NBC Sports, and I'm not going to a sports bar to do that. And
you'd be welcome
night,
in a sports bar. They'd say, look, it's Mike Wilbon.
Hey, this guy.
That's the problem. That's it. I don't want that. I don't want any part of that.
But
I don't want to sit in a sports bar.
You're rooting for the Caps.
When is the last time you sat in a sports bar?
Well,
not your own.
I sit in chat. Oh, okay. Not my own. The answer would be never.
No, yeah, exactly.
The correct answer would be never.
I don't do that. So NBC, I thought the games were on NBC, all of them.
Tonight is. Tonight is.
Okay, well, tonight is.
But they've been back and
Saturday
forth.
Night wasn't.
So will you watch tonight and cheer for the Caps and cheer for my prediction that they will win four in a row, my prediction?
I'm going to try. I'm flying to Chicago now because you cannot fly from San Francisco to Cleveland and get there in time to do PTI. So I'm flying to Chicago. I decided to work my way as far east as I could get and still do the show today.
But you could have gone to Washington because you could fly that, but it's okay. Enjoy
yourself.
You could
fly what?
You could have flown to Washington.
You're not listening, are you?
What?
I just said you cannot fly from San Francisco to Washington.
Oh, I thought you said to Cleveland.
PTI.
Oh, okay.
In Cleveland, you can't get to Cleveland.
No, you can't get to Cleveland.
West of Washington.
You're going to have to hitch to Cleveland. Yeah.
So you can't get to either one of those. You can get on a 5 a.m. flight. The first flight to Washington, D.C., as I'm looking on the board now, to Dulles, is at 9:30.
No, it's too late.
No, I guess it's 8:30. 8:30 still. That's 11:30.
Yeah, it's too late.
You can't fly.
You can't be ready to give the maximum ESPN 1 PTI effort that everyone expects from you.
I'm not talking about effort. I'm talking about the clock.
Right.
You'd land at Dulles at around 3:30, and that's if it's on time, and that's not going to work. So I'm going to Chicago.
Then I guess you didn't.
And I will try to watch tonight.
Please
try to watch.
I guess you didn't watch the Women's Open yesterday that I got involved in, the Women's Golf Open. You probably didn't watch
that. You know
what,
Tony? No,
I watched that for hours.
A course that you would have loved.
Oh, where'd you play?
I played before the game. I played at Half Moon Bay.
Oh, yeah. Half Moon Bay is the course where the youngest qualifier ever for the Women's Open, she was a 12 or 13-year-old girl, qualified about 3 years ago. I've heard of it. I've never played it. Sands is here. Is that good? Did you play it, Steve?
Beautiful course.
It is really good?
Absolutely beautiful.
So, Wilbon, did you break 90?
Because I only played 12 holes before I had to get in there.
That's the trick.
Get to Oakland.
That's how you do it.
You should.
All right, you liked
it? If you ever get the chance.
All right.
I loved it. I put it this way. It's the only course, the third hole, they say it's the only course where Steph Curry, what Steph confirms this, where Steph had his only hole in one at that course on the third hole. And
how'd you do on the third?
I hit it dead at the pin to 15 feet and missed the putt.
Well, that's okay.
And parted, tapped in. Yeah. Stan Verrett, the ball's in the air, and everybody's screaming who can see it. And he hits it 18 inches from the hole.
Really? So Verrett's pretty good, right? Is Verrett single digit? Is Stan single digit by now?
Stan could easily be. He's got to be somewhere between 8 and 10, right?
Well, good
Stan's really
him.
Good. Stan was the best of us. And my brother Don was there, and my cousin Eddie, and we had a good time pre-game.
Yeah, I had to work
pre-game. So it was 12 holes and get out for me, but hit it pretty well.
All right, I'll see you later by the magic of videotape. Michael Wilbon,
right, Boys
and Girls. Very nice, very nice. He's, for those of you who don't know how this show works,
it's commitment.
We taped out of order. We started with Wilbon at 7:30 Eastern, which is 4:30 Pacific, which means that by the time, even in Chicago, where Wilbon can be resuscitated by hundreds of people who meet him at the airport every time he goes
there,
like in Phoenix.
Restoring his superpowers.
He has nothing for today's show. Absolutely nothing. I will come back with news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Squarespace ad. This is the ad that starts out in English and then morphs into something different and then returns to English by the end. Have you ever thought about starting a blog? Do you have products or services to sell? Maybe you have a business to promote or an upcoming event to announce? Well, a dream is just a great idea that doesn't have a website yet. Make it a reality with Squarespace. Squarespace is encouraging folks to make it easily create a stunning website by yourself using beautiful templates created by world-class designers. With Squarespace, the power is in your hands to really make your website your own. You can customize the look and feel, the settings, the products, and more with just a few clicks. Sell anything you want online thanks to Squarespace's powerful e-commerce functionality. And here we go down the rabbit hole. Enjoy free and secure hosting, built-in search engine optimization, and analytics that help you grow in real time. And with Squarespace, you never have to worry, never, about a glitchy-looking mobile interface because everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box. Back to English. Keep dreaming, but make it a reality and make it stand out with a website from Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com/TonyK for a free trial now. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code TonyK to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The title of the song is Gone. It's from the Cyrus and Charlie Trio. The two frontmen of the band are Cyrus and Charlie, two friends from Gaithersburg, now residing in Frederick and Germantown, respectively, who have known each other since elementary school. The third member is the combined spirit of the drummer from Spinal Tap, who died in a bizarre gardening accident,
yes,
and the drummer who choked on vomit, the source of which remains unknown to this very day. Always remember, you can't dust for vomit.
That's so true.
I like this a lot.
It's a green globule on the drumstick.
Michael, we tend to play, we don't tend to, we play this as bumper music during the show, but you can listen in full to the entire recording at the end of the podcast. And if people want to send us their original music, for which they don't get paid, but they get psychic benefits.
Yes.
Psychic.
You get, you get a lot of publicity.
How do they do it?
Send your music into the show by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And do we have a Johnny O ad?
Yeah, the little Bootsy is still working hard for you.
Bootsy is for you.
Bootsy 1 will get you 25% off and gear up for Father's Day. And remember that if you tag yourself with your father, with a child, with This Show Stinks, and with the Johnny O brand, wearing your Johnny O gear, you can win a monogrammed Johnny O prize pack. So they're going to throw in some polos and a Lammy Bullover. And if you do have questions about sizing or, what you might like to wear, shoot us an email at mailbag and we'll get back to you.
What are we, like haberdashers to the stars now, and we do our own sizing?
Well, they actually do a really nice thing online where they show a model, and this is not just a program, height, but they'll show the model and tell you what their height is, what
That's
their
smart.
Weight is, and what the size is.
6'3", 190, boom.
Yeah. All right. You have some news, Nigel?
Yes, I do. Before I get into the news, I want to share something with everyone, and you again. I went to a concert on Friday night
at
Camden.
You saw the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, the Dead and Company. Now John Mayer plays with them, and it was a brilliant show. It's a terrific venue. And
I know
you're not a fan.
I'm not.
They did play a song. They play this all the time, and I know you probably wouldn't have enjoyed it, but it's a great version of Not Fade Away that they play, which is fantastic.
I love the song.
And they covered Paul Simon, Diamonds on the Soles of His Shoes.
That's a great song.
It was phenomenal.
A Grateful Dead kind of song.
Not Diamonds on his extra boat shoes.
No. They did that in the encore, but I thought you would appreciate that.
How many
that.
Of the Grateful Dead, the original band, two?
The three. The two drummers, Bill Kreutzmann, Mickey Hart, and Bob Weir, who sings and plays guitar.
Phil Lesh is the only alive one who refuses to play with them.
Well, no, he doesn't like the tour. So he's like, I just want to stay in San Francisco. So, but there's four remaining members still alive. Mr. Tony, I also want to update us on a story.
Did you stand throughout the concert? Did you have a good seat?
I did. We were right up front. Bruce, I was like, I don't even need to look at the videos. I can just look right on stage. And it was...
But I was in a theater for Bruce.
Yeah, this was like
Sands
an amphitheater.
Sands and I have not talked since then. I went.
You did?
Yeah, it was great. It was absolutely great.
Man, it was so great.
Yeah, it was really... the interesting thing was, and I wonder if this happened to you, the guy next to me, it was his sixth time seeing it, and a woman two down to my left was her fifth time seeing it.
So two wealthy people,
so great.
Yeah, you loved it beyond words.
Beyond words.
Did
Phenomenal.
You have a better?
And we'll
seat?
Go again.
Did you have a better seat for Bruce Springsteen on Broadway than you will tonight?
Well, you don't want to be that close to the ice. That's a tiny theater.
Right.
You don't want to be that close to the ice. You want to be a little bit above the edge of the top of the glass.
We tend to believe that you're above almost everything.
Yeah, it's not true. Yeah, that's not, as my father has wisely told me my whole life, no one likes to show off. So I will be silent as far as the ticket arrangements tonight.
Is your seat heated?
Tonight?
Yeah. Tonight.
Yeah, the seat heated.
No, but the floor, hopefully.
Yes, the tile.
Will you retract your hand when you sit down, or will it remain out and extended as it has been in your effort to get the tickets?
No, it's a give and take.
Okay.
It's a give and take.
All right, Nigel.
Yeah, I want to update you on a story we did on Friday. We reported that in Germany, there were some escaped big cats, lions, yes, tigers, yeah, and jaguars.
Where I hope they would not be killed.
Well,
I hope
they're
they
now
would
the chancellor.
Hope they would be.
Yes, now they've won a runoff election, and now they're running Germany.
It's like a flood.
No, it turns out they were never escaped. Some volunteers were using a drone to sort of keep an eye on things, and apparently they weren't really all that familiar with how the drone worked and couldn't see where the big cats were.
I assume they had taken over the government by now.
So they had to issue an apology and said, sorry about that warning, there's actually no
lines.
Like
the guy in the Ukraine who faked his own assassination?
The Russian guy.
Right, yeah.
That was crazy.
Fascinating. Yes. But we'll take you to locally now. Well, this game wasn't local, but it is the local team. The Nationals fell 4-2 yesterday.
Brutal.
To the Atlanta Braves. Lost 3 out of 4. And the worst news out of it, Jeremy Hellickson has a hamstring injury, going to have an MRI today to see if he needs to go on the DL.
One batter. So I was yesterday, the weekend for the Nats is saved by one person, the greatest.
Love him.
The greatest person in the city. Well, I shouldn't say that. Other people would say Ovechkin. But Max Scherzer can be on any team I ever root for, and I'm going to be very happy. Max Scherzer, and the bullpen was great for about 6 or 7 innings on Saturday. Max Scherzer pinch hit, which does not happen often, got on, scored what turned out to be, they won by 2, but turned out to be the winning run, certainly the go-ahead run, and then high-fived everybody in the dugout. And you said to yourself, at least I said to myself, if Steven Strasburg had half his heart, if anybody had half his heart, they'd be a better person for it. Max Scherzer, again, nobody is worth the money. Max Scherzer is worth the money.
Yes.
He is just great. And they had no bullpen for yesterday. I'm in chatter yesterday, and all of a sudden I look up, and a guy I've never seen before is pitching in the first inning. And his name is Jeff Rodriguez.
With a 1F.
And it turns out that he's from Harrisburg and just got called up
that morning, right?
Well, and Tony threw 90 pitches.
He threw on Thursday. Yeah. There's a lot of upside with him.
He pitched really well. And ultimately, they had to get to Tanner Roark, who's not a reliever. And I will say nothing bad about him. But he gave up a hit and then a home run. It was over.
Yeah, but
they lost 3 out of 4.
The Braves lead the National League in runs scored at the end of games, and it was not the home run that really did them in. It's Juan Soto does not get the ball into second.
He can't play the field.
To keep Lieutenant Dan to a single.
He can't play the field. I've watched 3 different games. Balls have fallen off his glove. He has turned the wrong way. He doesn't get after it correctly. I don't know if he can throw. I think he can throw, but he's a great prospect. But at the moment, he's not, fair to say, not a major league outfielder.
Correct.
That's what I will say about him. And by the way, Mark Reynolds, he may not get another hit for the rest of the year. He may be done.
It was a hell of a run.
He was great for 6 games. He was 0-for in this series. They lost 3 out of 4.
And the worst news is it looked like Murphy was making great progress, and there's another setback there.
So bad.
So they're starting.
I saw some video.
They're missing 5.
He looks 70 years old.
Can't move side to side. No,
he looks so old.
Is that a problem?
And Harper's sad because of the Knights.
Well, Harper, by the way, is not. Is not in right field what you hoped he would be at the moment. He's not.
He's hitting .240. I mean, obviously, he's second in the league in
home runs. A lot of bombs, but
my older brother David lives and dies with every pitch with the Nationals.
Right.
Nats are going to be fun.
Do you think so?
They're going to be totally.
Well, the Nats now home for Tampa and San Francisco.
Their road trip was great until Atlanta.
They're going to be fine. They're going to beat up on the lousy teams. They're going to end up winning the division. They'll be fine, and we'll see if they can step up in October.
Remember, which they have not.
Not yet, but they will. I think they will this year. Different time.
Remember when LeBron were
you saying that because
the,
of the Caps?
Hey, I think the Caps have opened up.
Every one of your tweets ends or texts.
I've never tweeted.
It's our time.
Right. It's our time.
It's our time.
I love sports.
It's our time. I love sports.
Now? It's our time
The Caps. Your boy Trot said it the other day.
Brian?
When or Barry? Yes,
your boy Trot said it the other day. When the pressure is alleviated from the fan base, the players actually can play with some freedom as well, and then it's a collaborative effort to get yourself to the Stanley
Cup
final.
That's like blaming the media.
Baseball is the same thing. If the Nats can just hang in there and play confidently in that first round series in the NLDS, I think they're going to be fine. Strasburg.
Love how you got him in the NLDS. I'll take it.
Right.
So does Harper show
a wild card
tonight
win the division
in his Golden Knights jersey and hat? Like, remember when LeBron
right
wore
to
the Yankees?
He has every
to the,
right to.
Yes, he lost.
He's from Vegas.
I'm simply asking the question.
I have no problem with him doing that. He's from Las Vegas. It's their first team. No, he's fine to do that.
Yeah, I'm
fine to do that.
Do you think he will? That's what I'm saying. They're home now.
I don't know.
Actually, the Nats have a night off. He could actually go to
the
game.
Yes.
He wouldn't go to the game and wear Vegas gear, would he?
You know what? That seems like a very Bryce Harper thing to do.
That'd be totally fine, but will he do it?
That's what I was asking.
Hey, the guy's from Vegas. Go ahead and go after it.
Maybe he'll come with Vega coffee.
Yeah, no one would blame him. I'm not suggesting.
Not at all.
Wrong.
Got this coffee.
By the way, he's going to resign here. I think he's staying.
My brother
Dave and I were talking about this last night. I think he's staying.
You are beginning to sound like my old friend Art Teal in Seattle. And we would have Art Teal on. And we'd say, Randy Johnson, yeah, I think he's going to stay. Ken Griffey, yeah, I think he's going to stay. Everybody's going to stay.
Staying.
Everybody left.
Come on,
Seattle.
Nigel.
Well, so you've
everybody
got Harper staying.
Harper's
Nats
staying.
Advancing to the NLCS.
That's right.
Yes.
Caps obviously winning. So the Redskins, what, 14-2?
No.
DC United?
No.
And by the way,
Josh and Alicia, who brought us cheese curds.
No.
Sandra's taking the cheese curds to the game.
Over there?
Yeah.
Jump around. And the single greatest tradition in college football. Have you ever been to a game at Camp Randall?
I've not.
At the end of the third quarter,
people jump.
Do jump around? You've never seen that or done that?
Wilbon's been everywhere.
It is the absolute coolest thing in college football. Many things in college football.
Update the scoreboard. Sands beating Wilbon in brother references 3-2.
Yes.
What do we have?
The Memorial. We have a winner in that. Did you want to talk about that?
The scientist.
You want to wait on that?
No, we're going to talk to Sands later about a lot of things.
Did you want to talk about
the
U.S. Open?
I ended up watching yesterday because it rained all day and there was nothing that I could do. Nothing. I was in my house.
By the way, the weather sucks up here.
Terrible. Terrible.
That's why.
So I was in my house looking around for something to watch, and I alighted on the Women's Open, the USGA Women's Open, which was at Shoal Creek in Alabama. The two people at the top, I don't know who they are. I had never heard of them before. One was Hojo Kim, and who's the other one?
Area Jutanagarn.
Jutanagarn, who was from Thailand. So somebody from Japan.
Best woman in the world.
Area Jutanagarn
is? Oh, she's great.
Oh, okay.
South Korea.
So she had
Japan.
Thailand.
She's from Thailand.
Hyoju Kim.
It's from not Japan?
From South Korea.
Okay, whatever. So Jutanagarn is up by like 1,000 shots and up by 6 or 7. And triples. She triples like 10 or 11. And then this other girl does a couple of things. She's completely out of two holes, except she goes out of the sand to 1 inch, where she's going to bogey a par 3, and another par 3, she's off the green, rolls it in for birdie, and suddenly it's one shot, and they end up in a playoff that goes on forever, four or five holes. And I watched every minute of this, and this was on Fox, and I will say this, and Steve does not have to comment, because you don't want to talk about either colleagues or rivals. But Paul Azinger went crazy because Jutanagarn clapped when the other woman made a great shot. And he said, is that what we've come to? You're applauding your opponents. And he just kept talking about this. I watched this for 2 to 3 hours yesterday because it was live. You know, it was live. It was the Memorial was on so early. It was done so early.
The Memorial was on tape delay because they had bad weather in Dublin, Ohio.
Right. So, and I watched this, and I had no rooting interest except I'm glad for the woman who won because she hung in there, and it looked like she was going to lose a number of times, which would have been terrible for her because it's a 6-shot lead. And I watched. You didn't watch any of that, did you?
Very little.
Yeah. I'm the only one. Well, Michael, did you watch?
I watched all of this at the end, and a big shout out to the superintendent and his entire team, because that chorus was underwater in the week leading up to
Shoal
this.
Creek.
And if it was not the U.S. Women's Open, that event would have been shortened, severe rain delays, and definitely lift, clean, and place, which they will not do for a USGA event. And this was also a great testing ground for the new two-hole aggregate playoff system.
That was weird. That's a weird thing. I don't like that.
Where the South Korean plane took the advantage on the first hole.
Boom.
And Arya had a bad drive on 18, had a good break by hitting her second shot long and having it rebound off of a few fans.
On the third hole, she hit a phenomenal sand shot.
And she got better as the playoff continued. And I actually looked at her clapping for her opponent.
I thought it was nice.
I thought it was fine, and I actually think it showed a little bit of confidence that she knew she was going to get up and down it and take that championship.
So Azinger was upset about it, right?
He was upset about it. If you remember the Ryder Cup at Medina in 2012, Justin Rose made an incredible hole out on 17, and Mickelson clapped for him saying, hey, great shot, and got blasted for it. I think that
I think the nature of the sport
lends itself to reactions like that when you see something happen to the person who you're playing with, and I thought it was totally fine. It was totally cool. By the way, that two-hole aggregate thing is bizarre. The Masters, so what the USGA wanted to do was get away from the 18-hole playoff the following day because it's TV
nobody
death.
Goes.
Nobody
yeah.
goes.
Right.
It's a disaster. The PGA Championship does three. The Open Championship does four. The Masters is sudden death.
So they got
stuck. And the USGA wanted, they got 1, 3, and 4 already taken. And they didn't want to do the 18 holes. They're not going to do 5.
6,
so
8.
So they did 2.
8-hole average.
Which is so bizarre.
It's
kind of a sneaky big deal in golf that they did that.
It
worked out the very first year they have it. It actually comes to fruition. So we'll see.
So we will take a break and we will come back with Old Guy Radio. We'll talk to Sands about a variety of things, including Tiger's lack of putting skill over the weekend. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
You've definitely heard me talk about MeUndies. You know, the fun, comfy undies that feel as good as they look. To those of you who haven't tried them yet, listen up. You can get incredible underwear sent to your door with MeUndies, meaning no more hunting around for the perfect pair at a crowded store and eventually settling for good enough. You never want to settle for good enough down there. MeUndies are made with a sustainably sourced material from beechwood trees. Their naturally soft fiber makes a fabric that won't sag down or ride up. Trust me, once you put on a pair, you'll get it. And if you've been following the Stanley Cup series, you might need to look into some new MeUndies undies and or socks after the stress that you might be experiencing depending on whether you are rooting for Vegas or D.C. MeUndies is so sure you'll love your first pair that if you're not happy, they'll do whatever they can to get you into the right pair. And if they can't, keep them. And they'll refund you, so it really is risk-free to try the best underwear ever. And if you're already part of the MeUndies fam, tell your friends about it through their referral program. They'll get a discount and you'll get store credit. Win-win. Still not sure? Well, MeUndies has a deal for my dad's listeners. First-time purchasers get 20% off their first pair of MeUndies and free shipping. That's 20% off plus free shipping and a guarantee that you and your MeUndies will be very happy together. Get your butt over to MeUndies and treat yourself. Underpants, treat yourself. Socks, treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself 2011. Now, if they know what they're doing, they're going to do some Rock the Red Puck underpants and get that going for June. To get your 20% off your first pair, free shipping, a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/Tony K. That's MeUndies.com/Tony K.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day. This California Dreaming by the Mamas and the Papas on the occasion of Michelle Phillips's
74th birthday.
Michelle Phillips, at one point in America, in terms of critical commentary, the most beautiful girl in America. Before the icky stuff.
Right.
John Phillips, before the icky stuff.
When you would think of California, you would think of Michelle Phillips, right?
I would. I can't speak for any of the other members of the band, but I would, yes.
So this song was written in 1963 while Phillips and Michelle Phillips were living in New York City as members of the folk group, the New Journeymen.
A Thamesman?
John Phillips.
Not a Thamesman.
John Phillips woke up, had dreamt this song, woke up Michelle and said, hey, help me finish this. And they did it in 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
And it's actually recorded first by Barry McGuire, And they sang backup on it, and then the Mamas and Papas did it about a year or two later.
So I said this during the break, that there was a commercial on TV for the new Jurassic Park movie. How many are we going to have to watch?
Well,
how many Jurassic Park movies until someone says enough?
Until they stop making money.
Until they stop making money. And interestingly enough, there's a big story in the Post today about the Star Wars movie Solo that is done very poorly. And they're thinking maybe this might damage the future
people,
of that.
Yeah, people enough is enough.
Right.
Biggest movie mistake Val Sands and I ever made.
Was Solo?
We watched Jurassic Park with our kids thinking,
oh no,
oh, this is gonna be good.
And this is terrifying.
Now they're all teenagers now. This is years ago. We're thinking, oh, this is gonna be good. No. We remember it in a different way. We sat down,
terrifying.
And I'm telling you, our two youngest, they didn't sleep for a week.
No,
it was
totally terrifying.
Massive mistake.
This one looks like actually like a horror movie based on the trailer.
So
this looks terrifying.
Yeah, they're all horror movies. They're all terrifying. And they're horrible as well as horror movies.
Well,
before we get to Sands, I noticed that Steve Watson came in before, who's a friend of mine who I played golf with over the weekend and who I'm trying to convince to join the First Leaf Wine Club, another sponsor.
Oh,
here.
Sure.
So I may do that for Steve. I may just sign him up for this. But it allows me to say something else that was completely thrilling for me, which was on Saturday before the rain came. I got to play with Marty West. Marty West is the greatest, Michael, am I fair to say this, the greatest amateur player ever in this area, one of the greatest amateur players in the country, who has played in the Masters, the U.S. Open, the U.S. Senior Open, the Walker Cup. Just great.
He is a reminder as to what maintaining and keeping your amateur status can and should be.
Right.
He's won everything.
And
Marty, he's a great ambassador for the game.
Absolutely. And Marty is, in his day, was the champion, the ACC champion when he was at North Carolina, beating someone we like to call Lanny Watkins.
Heard of him.
In the final. So Marty, and I'm going to give this away because Marty and I share a certain age. I got to watch Marty West playing. I'm playing with him. I'm terrible. I shot like 95. I got to watch Marty on Saturday shoot his age.
Wow.
This is a wonderful, wonderful thing to be one under, to shoot your... I mean, it was just... It was a great thrill for me to do that. It was wonderful. Just wonderful.
What's it like to play with someone that... Well, you play with Michael. I never play with anyone who's like a scratch or below.
Well, they have.
I mean,
to,
it's just
they
like, are
be,
they waiting
it is
on
their
you all
kindness.
The time?
It is their kindness to play with you,
right?
Because they're hitting it down the middle and on the green,
right?
You know, so that
do you feel like if you shank one somewhere, do you are you like sorry?
Yeah, I think there's some of that, but they're also usually very encouraging. On the rare time that you hit a good shot, they're surprised and they're happy.
See, there you go.
They're happy. For
the better the player you are with, the more encouraging that person usually is
I
towards you.
I think that's true. Huh. Yeah. I think that's true. All right, so we've talked about the fact that you won't disclose where your seat is.
Yep.
Are you expecting La Cheeserie, people to yell La Cheeserie at you if they should see you?
Honestly, I expect that every single time I step outside of a hotel, house, or car. It's incredible. We've talked about this on and off the air, Tony. I think it's one of the craziest things. Your guys reach, your guys show, the things you touch, the things you guys do daily is amazing. And everywhere I go, especially at sporting events, everywhere I go, people are yelling La Cheeserie, and it makes me smile every time. Makes my father smile. It makes everybody smile. And I have friends who say that they get it because people know that we're friends. It's you guys are amazing at what you do.
So Sands has, through his text chain, upbraided me a number of times this year when I've said, oh, the Caps are going to win the series. Oh, the Caps are going to sweep. Oh, the Caps are going to win four in a row against Columbus, which they did. The Caps are going to beat Pittsburgh. The Caps are going to beat Tampa Bay. I believe they're going to win four in a row against Las Vegas. I believe that, and obviously I could be wrong. But how you don't seem to have a level of confidence most of the time, do you now?
Oh, I have a lot of confidence. I just think it should be quiet confidence. I think the Caps are better. But the better team doesn't always win, especially in hockey. This is not Golden State and Cleveland.
That
series is over, and you don't need to watch it. It's either going to be over in four or five, and it's done. Hockey, a random skate here, a random. By the way, those posts were fat the other night for the Caps
against Vegas.
Right. It's, you know, a random bounce here and there. You never know. But I do think the Caps are the better team, and I do think the Caps are going to win the Stanley Cup. I really do.
They've done everything that was asked of them.
Tonight's a huge spot. A huge, huge spot.
How about Ovechkin's goal in Game 3?
I mean Ovechkin has been spectacular. Not only the goals that he's scoring, how about him blocking shots on the defensive end?
Yeah,
you hear that phrase in hockey, the two-way player.
Barry's been writing about that.
Svrluga and I have been chatting back and forth. You know, look, Svrluga had it right. Holpe needed to step up at some point. Eight needed to step up at some point. Your best players have to step up. And Holpe's been magnificent. Ovechkin's been spectacular. Kuznetsov coming back the other night from whatever he had. Look, I get a broken wrist. Everybody's played well. I'm happy for the guys. I'm happy for the fans. It's been a great ride. Tonight is a massive. The difference between 3-1 and 2-2 is massive. But I will say, and we talked about this earlier, The sense now in the building and with the fans is not of trepidation and nervousness and craziness.
It's all gone.
It's now like, let's put the foot down on the pedal and let's go kick their butts.
Although
that's what they've been doing.
We've talked about how they need to tick every box and exercise every demon.
Yeah.
The final, it would be the most Caps thing ever. To take the 3-1 lead
and lose.
End up in a seventh game, and then have to win it, but you don't have that sense.
Like you don't get
not
that,
this time.
The no, sense of urgency.
Well, but there's another part to that. You must recognize this. Vegas didn't exist till an hour ago.
Correct.
There is no fear of.
The legacy franchise
that you've heard about for years.
A mutual friend of ours, Monty.
Yes.
Steve Montgomery, the starboard out in Dewey Beach, who turns 50, by the way, this week. He went to the game last Wednesday, and he said, incredibly, he goes, everywhere I went, people are like, he's wearing a cap sweater. Everywhere he went, hey, good luck tonight.
Nice.
Thanks for coming out here. Yeah. We appreciate you coming. Yeah. That's a fan base. Nobody deserves anything in sports. Everything is earned. That's a fan base that doesn't mind waiting a little bit.
And they get hospitality out there, too.
They just got a team. The Caps and the fan base here in D.C., we haven't won a title since the Skins in Minneapolis. The Caps fans have been suffering since having a chance in 98 and blowing that completely and all the way back to 74.
They were 100%.
But now you get the sense. They got through the 0-2 hole with Columbus. They got through being down to Pittsburgh and winning on their ice with a great goal by Kuznetsov. They won a Game 7 at Tampa Bay to get to this point. You get a sense that there's a little bit of momentum, but that can change in an instant. So tonight's a huge spot.
You grew up here. You've been out of here for how many years?
Well, I guess I left for college when I was 18 and 87.
And then went on the road.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you do...
This is home. This is it.
Wilbon forces his son. Forces is the wrong word.
Yeah.
He encourages
his son
to be a fan of all Chicago teams.
Yes.
Your children... What are they fans of? Because they've not grown up here.
No, they're born and raised in Florida, and they have no shot of being in the Will if they root for anything other than the Skins, Caps, Wizards, Nats, and Maryland basketball.
So you force them like Wilbon forces Maddie.
There is no debate. There's no choice. You are either a Washington sports fan in this house.
Or you're out of the house.
Or you're out of the house.
Okay.
Oh, that's it.
And Val, who did not grow up here.
Val Sands, Newark, Delaware, grew up a big Phillies fan. Her father worked for the Phillies and big Eagles fan. That was in the contract.
Nice.
That was in the contract.
So having grown up here, Gary grew up here.
Val Sands, by the way, very into the
Caps. The hockey?
There's nothing like...
But of course, you're not taking her to the game tonight.
Oh, she's going.
Oh, yeah, and they're all going. Are the kids here, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, everybody's going.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, I had no idea. I thought it was just you.
Oh, we're all
like
in,
Michael
man.
Said to his wife and baby boy, Bootsy.
I'll see you later.
I'll see you in a few hours.
Have a good night.
Right, no.
I've got a great opportunity for us.
The intern can't do everything.
They are all in, and there's nothing I would rather do in life than share a great sports experience with them.
What if should they lose, will you be an impossible person?
My oldest son, Brian, who's 17 and is really into it, has said multiple times, Dad, if they lose this game, we're never going to another playoff game again, because I've taken them to the 5-0 game with the Rangers, game seven, taken them to Pittsburgh games, so taken them to games over the years in the playoffs. We fly up, spend all this money to come up here, and then you know we get rinsed each time. Tonight's going to be a win. Tonight's going to happen. It's got to happen.
As someone who has grown up here, yes. and has this rich history of Washington sports.
Yeah.
And I think the Caps have to win it for this question to be valid. But if the Caps win it, where is the Holtby save?
Oh, the Holtby save is right there with Riggins' 4th-and-1 against Miami.
But that won the game.
That won the game. The Super Bowl. If the Caps go on to win it, the Holtby save, if the Holtby save leads to a Stanley Cup, I think the first Stanley Cup, first time we've won anything in this city professionally in 26 years, the Holtby save is right behind. Nothing will ever surpass 4th-and-1.
Can't.
Nothing will ever surpass the Riggins 4th-and-1, but the Holtby save. Well, by the way, I was in an airport and saw the lower third on the screen of PTI, and I saw great save or bad shot, whatever that was. I about threw the television off of the moorings on the wall. It was a great save.
That was.
He lifted the puck a little bit.
It was a great save.
It was a great save.
Wilbon took the other side.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
Whoever that was got a good... I mean, he hit it. It was bouncing.
Oh, it was a great save.
He hit it.
And there was a lot of luck.
Wasn't a million miles an hour, but he hit it.
There's luck involved in all those kinds of things. But if that save leads to a Stanley Cup, Tony, the Riggins 4th-and-1 against...
That's still one.
It's right behind the Riggins 4th-and-1.
I agree with that. I agree with that. All right.
Well,
I said I'd ask...
John Wall shot in
game six. The king of game
pretty
six.
Pretty big. Pretty big.
Tiger missed seven putts within 5 feet, which he never used to do.
Right.
Tiger gets to where you say, okay, I'm with you, and then there's a fallback. What is with Tiger?
You know,
and who's looking forward to Shinnecock?
Of course he is, and he's going to put the best face forward, and he's going to say the correct things leading up to the U.S. Open, which is next week at Shinnecock. It just seems like a gear is missing. It seemed like when he used to climb the top of the leaderboards or grab a one-shot lead or be one back, he used to be able to just kind of kick it in a little bit. Doesn't seem like he can do that just yet. I think it's still a learning process, and I think he's still trying to figure out everything. But when his game is on the way it is, you expect the putting to be there because the putting has always been there. Now the putting seemingly isn't there when the nerves ratchet up. Pressure is the great equalizer in all of sports, especially to me in golf. When you see your name sitting atop a leaderboard, he was tied for the lead on Saturday and then did nothing and finished tied for 23rd or whatever it was. It just doesn't seem like Tiger, not yet anyway, in this latest comeback, has that extra gear that he used to have to bury people. It's a thing that's missing right now. And he needs to get it back, Tony, because these guys are good, and these guys know how to win. That's
the difference.
They're not
afraid of him. Right. Give them a reason to be afraid of him, they won't be.
They've never competed against him where he's tied for the lead on Saturday and then gone on to win. These guys have never seen that.
Ain't scared.
What's that?
They're not scared of him.
They're not. Exactly. Yeah. They're not.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have a jingle. We'll have some email. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Hey, Las Vegas, here we come. We've earned respect now. We put away the pens and the name, and everything is rolling. Still another goal remains. To hoist Lord Stanley. We heard how Tony said we would win. We're not afraid of jinxes, 'cause we know how he loves to be right. No more choking dogs. We will share the label. No more choking dogs. Steve Sands, he loves sports. Day and night.
Lyrics and vocal by Joe Arrow. Dedicated to Bobby Godfrey, Jeff Stevens, Neil and Rockville, and the rest of the Littles who rock the red with passion. Let me thank Wilbon for coming on, getting up really early. coming on the show today. Let me thank Steve Sands for sitting in. Also like to thank the sponsors, MeUndies, Squarespace, and SeatGeek. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Frank Strickland, my son flew in from San Diego for game 3 of the Caps nights. Given ticket prices, we decided on a watch party approach, reserving a hotel room near the arena and planning to take in the game at a nearby bar. Fine idea until we realized that at 6:30 p.m. the wait times exceeded an hour to get into a nearby bar. On a whim, we took an Uber to Chatter. We had a delightful dinner, which included watching a Nats win and then took in the Caps game at the bar. The lettuce tacos are, as you might say, fabulous. You came in with Christine and Gene. Yeah, well, Marty Aronoff's birthday party was on Saturday night, and I came in. And while my son and I were eating dinner, walking by our table, you said with classic Mr. Tony grumbling admiration, "Oh, look at these red shirts." My son and I were rocking the red, as were the two women seated at the table next to us. The next day, my son told his mom about seeing you. My wife and I are PTI watchers before we cut the cord. Great. I knew you'd appreciate their exchange. My son said, "He looks much older in person." My wife simply replied, "Makeup." Chatter helped my son and I have a wonderful shared experience. Thanks to everybody.
Hey, Tone, I was at the Georgetown 20th reunion. I moderated a panel, and that was my 20th reunion, sorry, this weekend. And a guy came up to me and said, "I'm here, but my wife, kids, and parents are at Chatter having
That's
dinner."
Great.
And I said, "I will tell the man
That's
himself.
Great.
He will be thrilled.
I am thrilled.
Are they spending money?"
Yes. By Dennis Bounds in Redmond, Washington. Makeup on your shirts. Bag the makeup, Mr. Tony. Let you be Lou, you, an old, balding, orange man. Beautiful. I don't know about that. George Yanisco. A Binghamton University grad dad in Olney, Maryland. "It is with sadness that I announce..." Oh, I'm sorry about this. "The passing of a loyal little from the radio and podcast days, Joanne Fry of Stanley, New York. She's preceding us in the pod in the sky. Farewell, Joanne." So we wish the family the best. From Justin Camblin in Lexington, Kentucky. "My middle child, a masculine child, currently age 4, is nicknamed Moose. As to the origins of this nickname, as a baby, he had a onesie that said the moose is loose. While the woman to whom I'm related by marriage is cooking dinner, my job was to keep the newly crawling baby from going into the kitchen, a task at which I failed continually. Thus, she would exclaim from the kitchen, 'The moose is loose,' and it stuck. My condolences to Bootsy and Michael." Mark in Fairfax, Virginia. "LeBron and Bird are the greatest passers over 6'8". Really? Two words, Magic Johnson. Yes, but Magic Johnson was a point guard. I was implying of people like who are playing different positions.
Yeah. Right.
And there are a lot of great point guard passers who are over, you know, who are big. The kid now, Ben Simmons, is going to be 6'10". One of them.
Yes.
But it's Bird and LeBron from the forward position. That's not something you've seen very often. Jamie Julian from Lakewood, Colorado, formerly Chicago. "While the idea of a woman shaving her legs in the pool might have been the more sensitive among us, like poor sweet Nigel, I can assure you that far more horrifying things happen every day on Chicago's public transit system, which is one of the reasons I traded the Windy City for the Mile High City after 17 long, disgusting years." I hope Wilbon hears this.
I don't even want to know what
those
things
could be. "Here's a two-story to revolt and amaze. On a Blue Line train from O'Hare Airport, a deranged homeless man boarded the train with a sock full of human feces and proceeded to smack a woman in the face with it."
Well.
"A quote from an interview with the victim: 'The worst part is nobody had anything to wipe my face with,' she said. She managed to find some newspapers before paramedics arrived. The paramedics gave her towels and water." I've included a link. We're not going to do
nope.
that.
No, I don't want to see that.
"The poop sock," this is referred to as the poop sock, "makes all those fires on the red line seem like child's play." Aren't I right?
Yes. Yeah, rather deal with fires
from Bart
than a poop
Bartholomew,
sock.
"A long-time little, see photos attached from past Jingle Fest, and consumer of dry cleaning services." I need a dry cleaner. "I want to recommend Chevy Chase Valet at 7011 Wisconsin Avenue in Chevy Chase. I spoke to John, one of the co-owners, today and mentioned your makeup situation, and he is happy to try to tackle it. He mentioned you have seen his work on other local TV personalities, without naming names, of course. I've been a customer of John and his business partner, Rodolfo, and the previous owner, Sam, since 1994. Over these 18 years, they have not lost or damaged any article I've taken to them, and in fact, have removed stains that Parkway couldn't. Jesse will love them, too, as they have free dog treats on hand for furry patrons. And last but not least, you can park in the large lot behind the shop, free early mornings and on weekends, or the alley that runs behind." So that's great. So I will do that. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
I'm going to solve. All right.
And?
Tonokuro cabinet.
Ah. Sorry.
Won't you swim with me past the ocean break? Well, you look like a good lover, like you know how to give and take. I will swim with you. Come on now, hold out your hand. I'm new to the water. Spent all my days on dry land. Got you on my mind. Got you on my mind. Let's hold each other close so nobody will be left behind. Sleepless nights, oh, they come in time. As long as I got you, baby, on my mind. Well, I don't have nothing left. I don't have nothing at all. And this is the way love works. Sometimes you lose and you fall. My heart is cold, colder than the ocean floor. I can't fight these battles, can't win against the ocean roar. Got you on my mind, got you on my mind. Let's hold each other close so nobody will be left behind. Sleepless nights, oh, they come in time. As long as I got you, baby, on my mind. Well, you a good lover, maybe the best. Love is a wave, it can kill, it can't caress. But if you can track it down, you'll never be the same. Walking the earth wondering when it's gonna call your name. Again, got you on my mind. Got you on my mind. Let's hold each other close so nobody will be left behind. Sleepless nights, oh, they come in time. As long as I got you, baby, on my mind. As long as I got you, baby, on my
the ticket that you left on the chest. It must be fall again, I guess. We'll take the train away, off to another place. Your grass is greener way out west. You say it's for good, but I protest. I thought I knew best. Clouds away, rewrite the names, but the story's still the same. Hey, and you're gone. Lie and tell me it's best for you to go. It's hard to care because I know. When spring comes back around, you walk back into town. Straight straight to my arms you will go. And tell me that you miss me so. Like every time before. Why wait for the sun to rise and wash the clouds away? Rewrite the names, but the story's still the same. Hey, hey, and you're gone. The clouds away. Rewrite the names, but the story's still the same. Hey.